We're learning in Yaakov. We're up to page Chaftet in the standard editions. Darash Rava b'Reid Rabbi Elai. Rava, the son of Rabbi Elai, taught the following. Mai dichtiv. What does the verse mean when it says, Vayomer Hashem, Hashem said, Yan, because that, Ki gavehu benot Tzion, that the daughters of Zion have become arrogant, but the Navi describes their arrogance as they have raised themselves. What does that mean, they have raised themselves? Explains Rava B'Reid Rabbi Elai, Shehayu mehalechot bekoma zekufa. They walked, but they walked very straight, so straight that they actually would seem as though they were looking down at everyone. The pasuk continues and says, "Vateilachna netuyot garon." They went with their throats extended, stretched out. Explains Rava B'Reid Rabbi Elai, "Shayu mehalechot akev betzad gudal." They walked a very small gait, where each step, where they'd put the foot directly in front of the other as they'd walk, in a very deliberate fashion that would draw attention to them, because they intended to be seductive, as we will see in a minute. The verse continues and says, "Umsakerot einayim." They color their eyes. Dehavumalan kuchla le'einayhu. They used to put their eyes filled with color. They used to have a color they'd put inside the eye. And I don't know if it affected the white of the eye or it was what we call today eyeshadow. From Rashi, it sounds like it went into the eye, actually. But it was some form of makeup. Umeramzun. And they would make signs. They would find ways to flirt with their eyes. Haloch, maybe that's what in the cartoons, right? The girl keeps winking her eyes, I don't know, fluttering her eyes. So maybe that's the what's it called? Maybe that's a makar. Haloch v'tafof teilachna. The pasuk describes that when they walk tafof. Now, tafof means to float. Tafof, the Gemara understands, is an Aramaic word, which means to float, or to go in the water. Haloch v'tafof teilachna. What does that mean, they float? Shayu malchot aruka betzad ketzara. When they'd walk, a girl would choose two friends to walk with who were shorter than herself, so that when you saw her walking, what you'd actually see is her upper body as though it were floating, because the shorter friends would cover her lower body, and it would seem as though she was gliding in the street. Uveraglehem te'akasna. And with their feet, they spill out venom. Achas is venom. So what does that mean with their feet? They give out venom. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak debe Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Yitzchak from the academy of Rabbi Ami taught, Melamed, this verse teaches us, Shemetilot mol ve'afar simon b'min alehen, that they used to put the beautiful smell of musk and persimmon in their shoes. They'd have these little squirt bottles of perfume in their shoes. Umehalchot bishukei Yerushalayim. And then they'd walk around the marketplaces of Jerusalem looking to seduce a young man. Vekevan shemagiot etzel bachurei Yisrael. When they'd see some young men standing together, so then bo'atot bekaka, they'd give a stamp of their foot in the ground, and that would cause the perfume to squirt out. Umetizot alehen, and they would squirt out this perfume at the guys. Umachnisot yetzer hara bahem ke'eres bechaus, and they'd stick in the Yetzer Hara into these young men. They'd find ways to arouse them, just as a snake's venom can burn its way through a person. So too, they would make this perfume. They would find ways to arouse the men, entice the men. That's what the Navi is describing, the rebuke of the daughters of Zion that are so seductive. So what does the Navi describe? How is Hashem going to punish them? Rava Barula. Rava Barula taught the following. The verse continues, and it says, wherever they would beautify, Hashem would destroy. The verse says, Vaya tachat bosem mak yiyeh. Where they used to place perfume, that part of the body would rot. Makom shayu mitbasimot bo, the place where they used to put perfume upon themselves, nasa nimakim nimakim, the place would, the flesh over there would rot. The verse continues and says, v'tachat chagora nikpa, the place where they would put belts, so that place will have nikpa. What does that mean? Makom shayu chagorot betzilzul, the place where they'd wear a nice bendel, they'd wear this nice ornament to again be seductive, will become nasa nikafim nikafim, will become all bruised. V'tachad maase mikshe kolcha, the Navi describes, mekom shayu mitkashtot po, the place where they used to put all kinds of ornaments, meaning their hair, mikshe, so the place where they'd put on ornaments in their hair, will become kerachim kerachim, they'll get bald spots throughout their head. V'tachad pitigil machagoret sak, the Navi describes, in the place of pitigil, what is pitigil? We'll see in a second. They will girdle themselves with sack. Explains the Gemara, pitigil is pitachim hameviim lidei gil. That's talking about the openings that bring a person to excitement, which is a euphemism for her most private parts. So pitigil is a euphemism. It says the opening of happiness. That's a euphemism for her private parts. So tachat pitigil machagoret sak. They're going to wear pitachim amivim lidei gila yiyul machagoret sak. Now they're going to wrap themselves with sack. They won't have any nice garments to wear. Ki tachat yofi. The Navi describes that all of these will come instead of their beauty, because they misapplied their beauty. They used their beauty to seduce men to illicit relationships. That's what people say, that in place of the best, you now have pus. That Hashem says the places that were used, the parts of the body that they used inappropriately to be seductive, will be covered with pus and rotting, etc. The verse continues and says, "V'sipach Hashem kodkot bnot Zion." Hashem will define the word sipach in a second, will do something to the heads. Kodkod is the head of the daughters of Zion. Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, melamed sheparecha bahen tzarat. The word sipach is to teach us that the daughters of Zion were covered with this white blemish, something like leprosy. The Talmud says the word sipach is similar to the word sapachat, which is one of the types of tzarat. The verse concludes and says, Vahashem poten ye'are, Hashem will pour out their openings. What does that mean? Rav Shmuel. We have a quote from Rav and Shmuel. Chad amar shenishpechu kekiton. One says that suddenly they found themselves pouring out blood like a pitcher, that they thought they'd be able to seduce the soldiers when the destruction of Jerusalem would happen. The daughters of Zion kept saying, so what if Jerusalem will be destroyed? We'll be okay. We'll just seduce the soldiers. And so the Navi describes how that beauty which they misused will turn on them, and they won't have that beauty. They'll find their bodies rotting. They'll find their bodies wounded. They'll find themselves going bald. And ultimately, they will find themselves bleeding heavily, an unexpected form of menstrual bleeding when they least expect it. And when they think they're going to be seductive, they'll be all but seductive. And so Hashem says they're counting on their ability to seduce the Babylonian soldiers, and that's their escape route. That's what they think, that even if everything, the Navi's warning, Jerusalem will be destroyed, you guys have to stop being so immoral. And the women weren't interested in listening, and they kept figuring, maximum I'll just seduce some Babylonian soldier. Okay, so Hashem says, I'm not going to let that happen. V'chadamal, the other one says, the Navi is describing a different description, shenasu pitrehen kiyar, that Hashem caused their private parts to be covered with hair in a way that was completely unfashionable in those days. The Talmud says it was customary. Jewish women did not grow pubic hair. Something different. There was something unique about Jewish women. We don't know about that today. That's what the Talmud says. And even women who did grow pubic hair would shave it off. It was considered unsightly. Even today, among Sephardi women, that's common. That they consider it unsightly that a woman will have pubic hair. So in the days of the Talmud, that was considered like grounds for divorce. If she didn't shave off that hair, it was considered not normal. It was considered like a basic element of a woman beautifying herself. So the Navi describes that they will, according to Rav or Shmuel, the other opinion says, Hashem pothen ye'are. The first opinion says the word ye'are comes from the word in Hebrew, le'arot, to pour out. The other opinion says the root of the word is ya'ar, forest, that suddenly they'll grow a tremendous amount of hair. And that's why the Babylonian soldiers, they'll reach a point of being close to intimate with these women in spite of all the blemishes, but then they'll see that and they'll be totally disgusted by them because that was considered unsightly in the days of in the days of the Tanakh and in the days of the Talmud. It says that Tamar, when Avshalom raped Tamar, so it says that Tamar wasn't, she had hair, because her mother was not a Jewish woman, right? Her mother was taken at a time of war, and that's why she did not have this trait that Jewish women had. I guess the converts did not have it, but those who were daughter after daughter from Sarah, they did not grow pubic hair, but Tamar did, and she didn't bother shaving it off because she wasn't married. It wasn't relevant. And when Avshalom raped her, it says that he became castrated by that hair. So the Talmud says that they considered it a danger. The Talmud says one opinion, why did the guy get so upset at his wife in the story of the concubine on the hilltop in the end of Judges, in the end of the book of Shoftim? So one opinion in Talmud, Tractate Megillah, says because she wasn't careful to take off all her hairs. And that was considered a danger to men. Now don't ask me how a man can get castrated by that. I have no clue. I don't know what that means. I don't know what it means. It seems from the Talmud to be literal. But at any rate, that was considered like something that was very, very wrong of her. He got so upset, they broke up for a few months over that. So here, the Navi is describing, according to the other opinion, that they'll suddenly grow a lot of hair, and that will make them so unattractive that even though the Babylonian soldiers were willing to overlook all the other blemishes they had, that's going to be a surefire, that's going to be a game changer where the Babylonian soldiers won't be interested. Amar Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, it wasn't only the women who were so inappropriate. The men of Jerusalem were also very inappropriate. Anshei Yerushalayim, Anshei Shachatz Ayu. The men of Jerusalem were also arrogant. Adam Omer L'Chavero B'Mis Ata Yom. A man would meet his friend in the marketplace and ask him, what'd you have for lunch? And what he was asking him is, who'd you sleep with this afternoon? They'd be comparing notes with one another because, as we saw earlier, there was complete illicit behavior, men switching wives with one another, etc., as we saw last time. So it wasn't only the girls who were so arrogant and were interested in seducing the men, it was also the men who were so improper. And with that, we conclude that story. The Ein Yaakov doesn't quote all the details. We described last week that they'd compare notes. What type of bed did you sleep on? They'd ask, what'd you have for lunch? And then they'd describe what type of bed you slept on, which was a way of comparing notes. What type of girl were you with this afternoon? So that's a shameful quote about the men of Jerusalem in the times of the first temple. We continue. Amar Rechava, Amar of Yehuda. Rechava said in the name of Rabbi Yehuda, Atzei Yerushalayim shel Kinamon haya. The trees of Jerusalem were trees of Kinamon, which might be what we call today cinnamon. Uvishah shayu mesikin mehin, and when they would harvest them, so then Rechan nodef bechol Eretz Yisrael. You could smell that, the smell of those trees throughout Israel as they'd harvest those trees. Umishecharva Yerushalayim, and when Jerusalem was destroyed, nignezu. So then all those wonderful trees were hidden. Velo nishtayer ela kiseora, a minuscule amount, like one stalk of barley remained of those trees. Umishtakach begazai ditzimtzemai malkita. And the only place you can find it is if you can go into the treasure chests of Tzimtzimai, the queen. You're not going to find it anywhere else. It's completely extinct. And our sages say that just as when Israel is in Israel, when the people of Israel are in the land of Israel, so the land flourishes, the amount of blessing that was here in the first temple was never repeated. Says that when we entered the land of Israel, so the land blossomed, and the sky shone, and when the temple was destroyed, many things stopped. There stopped being an abundance of tchelet. There ceased to be an abundance of that dye. There ceased to be an abundance of a fish called turita, which might be tuna. There ceased to be beautiful smelling persimmons in Jericho. It was called Jericho because the word reach, you could smell it from out in the sea. The trees bore fruits that could be smelt a great distance. And here we see another thing that ceased to be, and that is the great trees of kinamon, which might be cinnamon, that grew around Jerusalem. Nowadays we hardly see any trees growing around Jerusalem. But those trees, whatever they were, they stopped to grow with the destruction of the temple. We're up to the Mishnah.